Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews Wednesdays. And Brett, I think the note I got from you said your recent studies involve the guys in Stillwater, the mullet, Oklahoma State, and also Baylor. What have you found out in those studies?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on. Just researched Baylor and Oklahoma State, the two teams that were in, not last year, but the year before's Big 12 title game, 2021. And if you remember, Oklahoma State, they came up an inch short. They dove for the pylon in the corner and couldn't make it. Baylor won the conference and knocked Oklahoma State out of the playoff. But both those teams, they look a lot different in that moment. They're not really near contending for the conference title. They both fell off significantly in 2022. They both have issues we can talk through on both sides of the ball. But, it's light years away from where they were this time a year ago.
Are both contenders for the Big 12 the last year Texas and Oklahoma are in the league?
Yeah, so I'll say this. I'm about halfway through the Big 12. I don't really find many weaknesses yet. It's a very above-average, strong conference. I don't know that there's many elite teams, but there aren't many weak ones either. Now the Kansas is, at bowl caliber. But with these two specifically, I think with Oklahoma State, it's a transition year. It was one of the worst offenses that Mike Gundy's ever had. You think of Oklahoma State as always having the consistent, high-flying, wide-open offense. They failed to make 20 points all the last six games of the year. Longest streak in the country, really collapsed there, especially the run game was their worst in 20 years at Oklahoma State. So they have a lot to figure out on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, another coordinator change and a lot of star power gone. Kind of a red flag when you look at a program is not just if they're losing their starters, but if the starters are heading through the transfer portal. I mean, these are all conference guys, all American candidates. They're not going to the pros. They're going to the transfer portal. Four of their top receivers all exited, three of them going to Power 5 teams, and their two best defenders going to other Power 5 rosters. So that's definitely a red flag there when you have such a talent drain going to the transfer portal.
Yeah, and I've always liked Gundy, and when I used to go to the Big 12 meetings in Dallas, we'd sit and we'd talk about various things. I always liked him, but apparently being around him, and I could – be any coach, right? Not just him, but apparently there's some personality clashes there, apparently.
Yeah, that might be the case. I've always been a huge Gundy fan as well. He tells it how it is. He's an old-fashioned coach and has really been an innovator on offense for most of his career. Now, it reminds me a little bit of 2009. Now, this is about 12 years ago. His offense was getting a little stale. He took the back seat. He took away the play-calling duties from himself and hired one Dana Holgorsen, and it really revolutionized the offense. Well, Holgorsen only stayed there 1 year, but it really set them up for a big offensive explosion in 2010, 11, and 12. So I wonder if we see something similar here. He did not make a coordinator change on offense, so I don't know where that jolt of energy is going to come from. It's a new starting quarterback, Alan Bowman, coming in. He started a couple years at Texas Tech, if you remember that name. I just don't see it. I don't see them getting back to Dallas, given the current roster complexion and current schemes they're going through.
Spencer Sanders leaves there to go to Ole Miss, where he's not right now going to even be the starter, and had to know that going in.
Yeah, he picked one of the hottest quarterback battle spots in the country. It's interesting. I always wondered about that move. Yes, a 4-year starter at Oklahoma State, and he was inconsistent. He was hot and cold. I'm sure it was a roller coaster ride for any kind of Oklahoma State fan out there, because he flashed Heisman caliber at moments. He flashed All-American caliber. You know, he would run for 200 yards and put up six touchdowns. But then the next week, he'd come out cold and throw four picks, and fumble it twice. So it was very up and down. He still leaves as a legend from Oklahoma State. He leaves behind a battle between Garrett Rangel, a true freshman starter last year. Gundy's son, also Gunnar Gundy, started the game last year, quarterback. He's going to battle. But again, it's Alan Bowman coming in. Looks like the one-year option. He's going to be a one-year quarterback and let the young guys battle out for 2024. But, yeah, I was shocked by the Sanders news, and as were Cowboy fans.
Baylor with a fantastic season 2 years ago, settled down a little bit last year. Are they rejuvenated?
I don't know. To the title game caliber, I don't think they're Big 12 champs caliber again. They have a lot of figuring out to do on offense and on defense, too. Now, Dave Aranda, he's known for his defense. He's one of the best defensive minds I've ever talked to. I mean, you could just tell from the conversation how cerebral he is. He went out and it only took him a couple years to design a championship-caliber defense at Baylor. Remember, he took over a program that was 2 wins, so he's done it before. The difference this time around, he fired coordinator Ron Roberts on defense and brought back Matt Palage, who was the secondaries coach on that Elite 2021 championship defense. So hoping to re-spark what worked then. But like Oklahoma State, it's just a talent drain. A lot of those names that you recognize from the 2021 team are far gone. You know, so they're going to have to reload, especially at defensive tackle. That was their strong point with Siaki Ika, the 360-pound monster. He's gone. So you got to start at the point of attack and build out. And, yeah, I think it's going to be another transition season for Baylor. When you look at offense, too, they were stuck in the mud last year. Blake Shapen, hot and cold, didn't put up the numbers that you'd want out of a title quarterback. He said that he failed as a leader in 2022, but he's back with a vengeance here in 2023. Looks like he won the job. Aranda announced that after spring ball. A lot of firepower running back in the offensive line. So look at them to be a power ball control team on offense, like complimentary football. That might be just enough to eke out some wins.
When your book comes out, when your magazine comes out, what league are you going to have Colorado in?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, right. There's no program like Colorado this offseason, not just the roster turnover, but now these late headlines with the conference shuffling. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so they were one of the first teams that I wrote my first draft on back in February and March, and I think by now I've just printed that out and threw it in the fire. It's a completely different roster, 47 new players, all 10 receivers from last year. All 10 of them are gone. I've never seen such a thing. So they're going to be must-watch TV this fall. At this rate, I don't know where they're going to be conference-wise.
Brett Ciancia, Pick 6 previews with us each and every Wednesday. He's perusing the Big 12, at least in its current form. We'll see if they add more teams. I got to say, and I know the expansion is not necessarily your world, but Brett Yormark looks like a very good aggressive new commissioner for them.
Yeah, definitely, because just a couple years ago when Oklahoma and Texas announced that they were departing, you had a lot of this football Twitter, the football media, they were all saying how, oh, the Big 12 is going to be carved up and it's over for the Big 12. And I was the only thing I put out there was saying they should double down on their geography, just the way that I used to love college football being so regional. Double down on that Texas Midwest footprint, add a couple more teams instead of being, you know, letting yourself be carved up, go add teams. And they sort of did that. They definitely added teams. They doubled down with Houston in the Texas footprint. They went out and added a couple of different regions with UCF and Cincinnati. They added the Mountain Range area with BYU. And I think they got 4 of the best non-AQ candidates, really. I mean, if you weren't able to pluck off any Power Fives, which seemed like a lofty goal, they at least got some of the best non-AQs. UCF gets that Florida recruiting turf. Cincinnati gets the Ohio area. In a recent playoff bid, and then with BYU, a nationwide fan base. They are so passionate up there and across the country for BYU. So I think it's all wins. Houston, I've heard, has some of the best NFL-caliber facilities in the state of Texas, even though they were non-AQ. So, 4 great additions. They set themselves up for more expansion down the road.
Do you care whether the SEC plays 8 or 9 league games?
Yeah, this has been a hot debate for years now, and I was always saying I'd rather it be standardized. I don't care if you go 8 or 9, but I'd want all the conferences to be 8 or 9. If one is less than the other, I think that maybe pick up an extra Power 5 game. I've always wanted it just to be standardized there. And then when it comes down to it, now that it's not standardized, the SEC is smart for staying at 8 games. And people might laugh at that. They might think, oh, you're losing out on a big TV game, another round of conference games, but it's just math. I mean, if you play one last conference game against yourselves and one last Saturday of beating yourselves up, chances are you have more undefeated, 1 loss or 2 loss teams at the end of this thing. And when you're looking at an expanded bracket, what's going to make it into the tournament there? A 10-2 Ole Miss or a 9-3 Baylor? You know, that extra third loss is going to be damaging. And without an extra weekend of beating each other up, the SEC looks smart in all this. So unless it's standardized, I think 8 is a smarter move if your goal is playoff access.
Going to be interesting. Brett Ciancia each and every Wednesday checks in with us. Brett, what do you do in the meantime? Do you have other leagues to get to? Like, have you done the complete SEC?
Yes, I'm going to go through the new Big 12 teams this week, the expansion teams. First time ever covering Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati. So I'm going to dig a little deeper on those three. Going to wrap up the Big 12. And then I need to go sporadically throughout the conferences and look at contenders. So I still have teams like Clemson, Florida State, the SEC, Alabama, Georgia, LSU. And there's still plenty of teams to cover. I'm about two-thirds done. But I'm excited to announce that the 2023 book pre-orders are open now. So we're going to return with the hard copy edition again, and then the 12th annual digital copy. So while the book is not published and printed yet, go reserve your copy. Get pre-orders out there. Looking at an early July release. It'll ship in early July and be downloaded early July. So I got that going there on the website, pick6previews.com.
Brett, appreciate it, man. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill.